Well, I'm really excited to be here and speak to you this morning. I want to stir you up in your faith today. Amen. I want to encourage you in your relationship with God, and I want to help you break through a barrier that may be holding you back. All right. So with that, you guys are an enthusiastic group. I like that. You're making me feel more comfortable. All right. I am going to start with something that we talked about. If any of the guys here are not in the men's group, you really ought to come to it, because I'm telling you, it is life-changing stuff that's going on there, and you really ought to be a part of it. I wanted to start out this morning and talk about, for just a moment, revelation knowledge. And I'm defining that as something that, when it's revealed to us, sheds a whole new light on God's Word. And, man, I'm a guy that likes to kind of boil things down and get it to the lowest common denominator. Just figure out what the... So I'm going to try to do that on a couple different topics here real quick. The first one I want to talk about was something that came up in the men's group. Noah was leading this week, and he mentioned a verse in Acts 1. It's not Acts 1, but it's close. It's James 1. This verse came up, and it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom," and I thought, boy, there's a category we all fall into, whether we know it or not, "let him ask of God, who gives liberally and without reproach, and it'll be given to him." But this is the part that gets interesting, because I feel like what God has been telling me is, or showing me, or making clear in my mind about faith, is that faith is believing God, but we've talked a lot about the faith we have being the faith of God. It's not our faith. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it says, "By grace you've been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing, it's the gift of God." And I should have finished that verse, but now it's not going to happen. But anyway, the gift is, it's always thought of as the grace, but the faith is a gift too. And the faith we want to be operating in is God's faith. And if you think about God's faith as the way God thinks, to me that's where you get it down to the simplest, hey, I can use this. So this verse goes on that we're asking for wisdom, and then James says, "But let him ask in faith," or "let him ask thinking the way God thinks, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea tossed by the wind." So if you read it, "let him ask in faith, thinking the way God thinks, not in doubt, thinking the way the world thinks, or the flesh thinks, or the enemy thinks." It just changed the whole meaning of this, and I felt like it got it to where I could get a hold of it. "For let this man not suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded." And I don't know, I've read this a lot of times, but it's just the idea that the double-minded is we're switching back and forth. We're thinking the way God's thinking, and then we're thinking the way the world thinks. That's what we're trying to eliminate. It just kind of came together for me. So I wanted to share that. But I got another one that I was going to use just as an example, but it's really critical in our faith. I want you to think for just a minute about Jesus. When you're reading about Jesus in the Gospels, how are you viewing him? And there's two ways we can view him. We can view him as God, or we can view him as a man being led by the Spirit. Do you guys fall into one of those two categories? If you read the Gospels, and I've done this for years and years and years, and every time you see Jesus do a miracle, he heals someone, he has a word of knowledge, whatever he's doing, and every gift is displayed in his life at some point in the Gospels. But if you look at that and you go, well, yeah, sure, he can do that, he's God. Or if you look at that and say, wow, here's a man filled with the Holy Spirit showing me how I'm supposed to be operating, it opens a whole new level of faith to you. And So the answer to the question of is he God or is he man filled with the Spirit, it's both. And I wanted to give you a couple verses. Just John 1 shares that with us. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Philippians 2, 5 to 7 says, let this mind, let you think this way, in which, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, didn't consider itself robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, becoming in the likeness of a man. And Luke 4 says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. So we're seeing he's God, we're seeing he's man. But then in Acts 2, verse 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's us. So we're filled with the same Holy Spirit that Jesus was. When we see him doing something, we know that's something we should be doing. That's something the Holy Spirit wants to do through us. And John 14, 12 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do. So I hope that gives you a little bit of a shift in how you're looking at the Gospels now. And I got to say, Jesus is seen in different places also in the Bible. You know, he walked across the desert and spoke to Abraham. And he spoke to Joshua on the road to Jericho. And he spoke to the disciples in Acts after he'd risen from the dead. So there's a lot of places where it's clearly he's God. But there's a lot of places where we can look and see, wow, he's operating as a man filled with the Holy Spirit. So I thought that was something I was hoping would stir you up in your faith. All right. I got one more I want to talk about. And this is something that's just been on my heart. And it's something I feel like I can see in my own life where I've gone wrong on. And here again, if I gave you a written test, I'll bet you'd all pass it. But it's not what we know. It's what we're using every day. I saw an article one time in a gun magazine, and it said, this is the gun that will save your life. And I thought, oh man, I got to read this. What gun is that? It's the one you got with you. It doesn't matter what you got at home. It doesn't matter what's out in the car. It's what you got with you if you got a problem. And that's the way God's word is. It's what we're thinking on a continual basis. It's not what we could pass on a test. And the thing that it is the thing also that I wanted to talk about is the old covenant versus the new covenant. And I know if I gave you a test, you'd all say, hey, we're under the new covenant, and this is what it looks like. But how we view ourselves when we sin, what we're thinking, that what do I got to do now to get back in God's good graces, that's what's making the difference in our lives. And so I just wanted to make a little comparison here. Paul brings this up in Galatians 3, where he asks the Galatians how they could be this foolish. And I think they had really gone off track, but I think we know the truth, but it's not always, I mean, in my mind, I can tell it's not the way I'm always thinking. The first part of my Christian background was probably more like a Pharisee, where you're either thinking, man, I'm not doing a great job, this is terrible, and God's not happy with me, or, hey, I'm doing pretty good. So it's kind of like you got a road with a ditch on both sides. You can either be over here in pride thinking you're doing pretty great, or you can be over here thinking God must be totally upset because of how I'm doing. And that's really kind of how the Old Testament worked. Under the law, the blood of sheep and bulls done over and over again, it was, like Deuteronomy 28 tells us, if you diligently obey the Lord, then you're going to be blessed. And then it goes down in verse 15, it says, if you don't obey the Lord, you're going to be cursed. But under the new covenant, under the Spirit, the blood of Jesus Christ, once forever, Jesus' obedience is equaling our blessing, and our disobedience, which should result in the curse, is now resulting in Jesus has redeemed us from the curse. Amen. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 8:12 says, for I will be, this, and this is a really interesting passage in Hebrews 8. It is almost an exact quotation of Jeremiah 31, and it's where God says, this is the covenant that I'm going to establish. I had this covenant where if you sinned, you're out, and now I'm going to make it where I'm going to forget your sins. But it says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. Everything that we receive from God is because Jesus deserves it. But everything in the world is just the opposite. If you do a good job, you're going to get rewarded. If you do a bad job, you're not going to be rewarded. It's the way the world is. It's the way the old covenant was. And it's an easy place for us to jump back into and be thinking along the lines of and get out of this. You're under the blessing. God loves you. He wants to bless you. He's going to forget your unrighteous deeds. So it's something I think that if we don't keep clearly in our minds, we wander off track. And it's then, once we get off track, if we get into pride, that'll stop your faith dead in its tracks. But if you get into condemnation, it will also. I can't pray for you because if you knew what I'd done, and, you know, I mean, it's just, it's not where we want to be. The only way our faith will work is if we get out from under the law and believe God for all the promises that he has given us in Christ. Our job is to understand that nothing can separate us from the love of God and to appreciate in thankfulness that all we have and all we will ever need is in our new covenant of blood with Jesus because of what he has done. His work, our blessing. The reason that God gets all the glory is because God did all the work. Amen. The picture of God's heart towards us is everything that God has done from the creation of the world until now is to provide you with everything you'll ever need. Life, provision, healing, protection, salvation, eternal life. All he is looking for us to do is love him back. And there's a passage that is mentioned. It's 43 different times from Genesis to Revelation. It's one of the most recurring themes of the Bible. And it's where God says, I will be your God, and you will be my people, says the Lord Almighty. And I just feel like if we get a few of these things in the right place, it really changes our view of God. And I feel like recently, I mean, the last few years, one of the things that he has moved me in the most is just appreciating how good God is, how much he loves us, and what great plans he has for our lives. And the more he's done that, the more I've desired to worship, the more I think once when we get our minds out of the works mentality, which I think even, I know we're not hearing that preached, but the world's preaching it to us every day. I feel like it just gets us in a place where we are going to see God's love for us in a different way than we ever have before. And I think you're going to get it right more in your life from appreciation than you are from the threat of, exactly. It's, amen. The threat of death, however you want to look at it, God's wrath. I mean, that's kind of where the law was. We're going to obey because if you don't, you're going to get the wrath of God. But we're under a completely different system where we're going to obey because we appreciate what God's done for us. And I think you're going to get a lot more obedience that way than you are any other way. And it's just what a blessing to be alive right now. I mean, if we had been before Christ, yes, he's coming, yes, you know, but man, this is the time to be alive. This is the time to be in God's blessing. All right. Something else that we talked about in the men's group, which was interesting because I had just begun to do this on my own a little bit, and it's something I want you guys to do right now. And it's kind of in response to us thinking about God's love for us. I want to talk about a verse in Matthew 18:3, where Jesus says, "Unless you are converted and become as little children, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." And I think one of the things, another thing I think we can do that I'd like to talk about for just a second is we can become saved in our own minds, and what we've desired to do is just incorporate God into our lives. We're going to go ahead and live just like we were living before, but now I'm going to tell people I believe in God. And what God's really looking for is total surrender. And it's going to have a dramatically different effect on our lives. And what I was kind of getting down to here is that we can either have a cold relationship with God or we can have an intimate relationship with God. And one of the things that will help us in our intimacy with God is something that I've been doing, and I've then heard other people talk about doing this. And I'm gonna tell you what it is, and then I'm gonna take a minute and let you all do this. One of the things that I do in my prayer time now, and in other times too, just wherever I'm standing, sitting, I'll take a minute and just think about God. And I actually picture myself sitting on the throne with God, and I'm not seeing his face. I'm like, it's kind of like being in the shadow of the Almighty. I'm just kind of sitting, a lot of times leaning against him. Sometimes I'll think he's picking me up and kind of giving me one of these, or sometimes he's thrown me up in the air and caught me, or sometimes I'm just laying in his arms sleeping. And sometimes Jesus is sitting there. You know the Holy Spirit's there. But I just want you all to take a moment and just close your eyes and just picture yourself just sitting with God under the shadow of the Almighty. And he might say something to you, or he might give you something. But I just want you to take a minute and just be quiet before him and let him say something to you if he wants to. Does anybody have anything that they want to share from that experience? Okay. And we're just going to move on. Man, I just think of that where, you know, under our covenant, we can just come boldly into the throne room. And it's, but I've been doing this recently. This hasn't been something I've done for a long time. And I feel like it has really changed the way I look and think about God in a very positive way. And it was interesting that right after, I feel like a lot of times when I'm praying, I'm just, and then you wonder, well, hey, how come I'm not hearing anything from God? Well, maybe if I'm not talking, I'd be hearing more. So anyway, it's really been a positive thing for me. But, and this is not a one-time deal. I mean, I would definitely encourage you all to spend some time with God in your quiet time or wherever you are when you have a moment to just do this. And I think you'll find it to be a game changer for you. Okay. I hope that gives us a little better picture of how much God loves us. I mean, I think that is what this whole... I think Christianity is all about changing the way we think, and our actions will follow. And I think religion is all change the way you act and we'll let you in. But I better not go any further down that road. But anyway, I just wanted to try to get you to open your eyes a little more to just how much God loves you. And I hope we've done that. But there's something else that I want to talk to you about. I told you I was going to do three things. Let's see where we are on the list. I wanted to stir you up in your faith, encourage you in your relationship with God, and help you break through a barrier that may be holding you back. And I know there's a lot of different things that can be holding us back. But the one I want to talk about is forgiveness. And one of the things, I want to quote a verse from 1 John 3:8. It says, "For this purpose the Son of Man was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And as his servants, that's our job. Our purpose as children of God is to destroy the works of the devil. But we can't destroy the works of the devil if we're participating in them. We need to be demon hunters, and we need to be stomping on hell every day. So I want to take a minute here, and if there's forgiveness we need to deal with, we've talked a lot of times in the past about the power tools of Christianity being prayer, fasting, and giving, but I definitely think total forgiveness is a huge power tool also. And it reminds me of the verse in Mark 11:25 where it says, whenever you stand praying, and this is just after he's shown us how faith works. It says, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And I think this is the most deadly thing we can get involved in, and I think we can do it real easily without even thinking about it. And I heard a guy talking the other day about how to totally forgive. And I thought that he really made some excellent points, and I just want to share them with you. He said the first thing about forgiving is when you're offended, don't tell anyone. And man, I think that is such a wise idea. If I get offended and I go home and tell Julie, well, you will never guess what this person did, which is just judgment in the first place. I feel like judgment and unforgiveness go hand in hand. Judgment, I feel like, is pride where I say, I would never do that. I'm probably doing it right now. But if I go tell Julie the offense, now she's very likely to be offended by the person. So it's like I'm in a mess, and now I want to drag you into it too. I think not telling anyone the offense is a great place to start. The second one is let the offender save face. No nose rubbing. And I thought, you know, we're not training dogs here. Don't bring up the offense again. So no throwing it up. And the fourth thing is to pray for the person who's offended you sincerely. And, you know, Sometimes, like Julie will say, you need to pray for this person. My thought is, yeah, I'm going to pray for fire from heaven. Their death is not what we're praying for here. We need to pray that God would bless them. We need to realize that why they did what they did is because of where they are with God, and we're just in the middle. And the fifth thing you want to do in this list is don't ask Julie or Joseph how well I'm doing on any of these points. The sixth thing was put the offender at ease. Perfect love casts out fear. And seven is no record of wrongs. And if we do these things, it will fix our marriage or whatever relationship we're dealing with at the time. But I want to take some time right now for you to begin this healing process of forgiving anyone that the Holy Spirit brings to your mind. And here too, this is not a one-time deal. We got to do this daily. This has got to be a way of life for us. We got to let offenses go as they're happening, not 30 years later. But I really like for you to take it just a second and just ask the Holy Spirit if there's somebody in your life that you need to be forgiving and praying for. Are we all in better shape now than we were when we got here? Amen. Amen. I feel like this is such a critical thing. And I feel like that one of the things we do sometimes when we don't want to forgive someone is confuse forgiveness with trust. There's a lot of people that have done things to us that we are not being asked to put ourselves back in a position where they can do that again. So, just felt like that should be said. Now that we're feeling better about, does anybody feel like that? Can I just see a show of hands if that was something that you feel like has been a barrier in your life at all recently, now? All right, okay, good deal. Very exciting. Well, hey. That is what I wanted to share with you today. But before I close, I want to ask if there's anybody who wants prayer for anything, if you would just stand up. Because I feel like we are in a better position to pray for you now than we've ever been in before.